This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here is your top stories this Monday. As water managers plan for how to deal with a historically low snowpack year, pulling water from Rudai Reservoir has been floated as a possible solution. Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli has more.
April Long is the outgoing director of the Rudai Water and Power Authority. During a presentation to the Glenwood City Council on Thursday, she said that in previous dry years, Rudai Reservoir still had a lot of water. Managers are hoping that it can help supplement shortages across the Western Slope this summer.
We know that everybody is going to be short on water. It might be Grand Valley ag producers. It might be downstream municipal water providers. It might be both.
Long said releases into the Roaring Fork River could serve both an environmental and economic purpose. Raising water levels could limit heat stress on fish and allow fishing outfitters to continue operating. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
In arts and culture news, the theme of this year's Dandelion Days Festival was Common Ground. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports that, for the first time, an Indigenous hip-hop artist headlined the annual Carbondale event.
A crowd gathered in front of Soper's Park's main stage on Saturday as Natani Mean sang lyrics like, "I give back to the land, everything moves in a circle." He traveled past sacred mountains like Mount Taylor in New Mexico to get to the Roaring Fork Valley. He says that in New Mexico, where he lives, the Rio Grande River ran dry for the first time last year. But seeing the snow still on area mountains and water in local streams brings him hope.
So coming up here and seeing where the snow melt is, it's beautiful, but it's also kind of sad right now. You know, it's a sad. But we have hope because we've endured and we will endure.
Means plans to continue to use his music to advocate for environmental justice and Native American rights.
Louder! Carbondale, thank you guys.
For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
In statewide news, Governor Jared Polis has signed a state budget for the next fiscal year. It had to address a $1.5 billion shortfall. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
Colorado's latest budget tops $46.8 billion. That's almost $4 billion more than last year. But lawmakers faced a major shortfall caused by ballooning costs and shifting federal policy. Medicaid took the brunt of the cuts. Reimbursement rates for most healthcare providers were cut 2%. Programs for some undocumented immigrants and people with disabilities are also getting trimmed. But when the governor picked up his pen to sign the 650-plus page document, he focused on the positives.
What I'm particularly proud of in this balanced budget is that the Joint Budget Committee and their colleagues in the House and Senate have succeeded in continuing to fully fund public education in Colorado.
Democrats say Colorado faces a structural deficit due to rising health care costs and Tabor restraints. They expect a similar shortfall and more belt tightening next year.
That was Ray Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Coloradans shared stories last week about the stress of high health care costs. They spoke at an event co-hosted by Denver Health and Senator John Hickenlooper, a Democrat. Chelsea Baker Houck, who runs a consulting business in Denver, has been battling a rare neurologic condition, and her husband has cancer. She gets insurance through the state health exchange, and he qualified for Medicaid. But she says they've struggled to stay afloat financially and navigate the complex health insurance system.
We have to fix the affordability. We have to make Medicaid accessible for people and not kick them off.
Patients and providers express concerns about the looming impact of more than $1 trillion in health cuts made by Congress. Colorado Parks and Wildlife released its annual report on gray wolves last week. The agency says there are at least 32 wolves in the state, most of which are members of four established packs. One of those packs is the Copper Creek Pack, located in Picken County, which had four adults and two pups at last count. The other three packs are in the northwest part of the state. 10 adult wolves died in the last year, three of which are still under investigation. But officials said pup recruitment was very high this year, which is an encouraging sign for the success of the reintroduction program. And in regional news, damage from wildfires costs hundreds of billions of dollars annually in the U.S. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports, new research shows that prescribed fires and other treatments can prevent some of that loss.
It's well known that prescribed fire can bring significant ecological benefits and help reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfire. But a pair of new papers tries to put some dollar figures to the impacts. One of the studies found that over 7 recent years, U.S. Forest Service projects helped communities avoid $2.8 billion in harm.
So for every dollar that the Forest Service spends, we find that the public saves $3.75 in property loss, smoke and health impacts from wildfire smoke, and carbon emissions.
That's Frederick Strabo, lead author on both of the papers. But the researchers also found that not all prescribed fires and other projects are created equal. And in general, the research shows that the larger they are, the more likely they are to have positive impacts. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
This season will be the first for the new U.S. Wildland Fire Service. Its inaugural chief recently laid out the priorities for the agency in an interview with the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse.
Interior Secretary Doug Burgum recently told Fire Service leadership, quote, "We will enter this season with the presumption of a full suppression strategy applying to every wildfire. Prescribed burns, which can reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfire, will also be heavily restricted." To influential fire scientist Dave Cockin, that all sounded like a doubling down on decades of suppression-first policy.
And that's what we've been trying for 100 years and have failed miserably at, which is why we're in a crisis.
Brian Fennessy, the service's first chief, says he likes the clarity of Burgum's directive and insists that suppression will always have a place.
But you know as well as I do, if we don't really start having a bigger impact in treating the landscape, I mean, we're not going to get out of this. We're not going to suppress our way out of this situation.
Another priority he has for the new agency is addressing the high physical and mental health tolls that wildland firefighters face. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.